Hello everyone, you are listening to Physics Rules, and I am Tatyana Stancheva. One of my favorite questions to include on my class quizzes is the polar bear question. Here it is. Imagine a polar bear starts from the North Pole, walks a mile to the south, then a mile to the east, and then a mile to the north. If it took the polar bear 3 hours to complete the trip, I ask, what is its average velocity? Simple enough, no? Let's not be so hasty, though. The first thing we need to consider here is where is the polar bear now and how much distance it has traveled. When we work with the length of the path walked, we talk about the distance. But, on the other hand, you might want to focus on the fact that the polar bear is back where it started. Did you catch that fact? In case you missed it, remember, our Earth is a spherical ball. In the case of the polar bear, if you move from the top, that is the pole, of the sphere down along the meridian, then along the parallel, and then back up the meridian, you will end up where you started. That is, at the North Pole. Mind you, anywhere else on Earth, your trip will not be a closed loop, but for the poles. So, back to the polar bear question. After walking south for a mile, eastward for a mile, and another mile to the north, back to the pole, it ended where it started. In physics, when we focus on where we are in the end and not so much on how much we actually walked, we talk about displacement. Displacement is simply the difference between your final and initial position. Alright, so this is important, so I'm going to pause here and repeat what distance and displacement are. The distance is defined as the length of the path traveled by an object. The displacement, on the other hand, is the difference between its final and initial position. The two may be identical or may not, depending on the circumstances. So be careful and distinguish between them when you're solving problems from kinematics, that is, problems of motion. Back to the polar bear question. What we have determined is that in 3 hours, the polar bear has walked a distance of 3 miles, but has a displacement of 0 miles. It ended where it started. Next, we need to determine what is the average velocity. The average of something is usually calculated as the change of something divided by the time it took. The question here is the change of what something do we divide by the 3 hours. So we need to know here the definitions of average velocity and average speed. In the introductory physics class, we define them as average velocity is the change of the displacement over time, and the average speed as the distance traveled over time. And there you have it. Average velocity relates to the total displacement, while the average speed relates to the actual distance traveled. The problem here asked about the average velocity, and therefore we need to concern ourselves with the total displacement of the bear. So the average velocity here will be zero displacement divided by 3 hours, and we end up with a zero average velocity. Somewhat of a trivial answer here, but significant nevertheless. Every time you end up where you started, your average velocity will always be zero, regardless of how fast you moved. On the other hand, if I had asked about the average speed, then we would have to work with the total distance traveled, and so the average speed would have been 3 miles divided by 3 hours, equal to 1 mile per hour. Being able to distinguish between distance and displacement, and velocity and speed is essential in physics. There are situations where we care only about the speed, in other words, how fast we can clear a distance. If you're swimming laps in the pool, for instance, jogging on the treadmill, or driving on the freeway and wondering if you're going to get a speeding ticket. Those are all situations of speed. Speeding ticket is a speeding ticket, regardless of the direction in which you travel. On the other hand, if you see a big truck driving super fast on the freeway, it matters a great deal whether it's going towards or away from you. If it's coming your way, well, you'd better get out of its way. And if it's going the other way, then it's someone else's problem, isn't it? And now you might as well ask, how can you know when to take what? Here are some simple rules of thumb. Generally speaking, there are two situations in which velocity and speed are related. One, when the object is moving along a straight line without changing its direction. And two, when you consider a very short time interval, a millisecond, for example, when the two haven't had the chance to differ from each other. In all other situations, it is safe to assume that the velocity and the speed might not have the same magnitude. Another important difference between the two is how we handle them. Speed is always assigned a number. In mathematics, we would call it a scalar. Velocity, on the other hand, tracks both how fast and in which direction we move. Are you getting closer to your house? Are you traveling away or into the storm? Those kind of situations. So we always assign two things to the velocity, a number and a direction. In the language of mathematics, we use vectors to represent velocity, with its two attributes becoming the magnitude and the direction of the vector. So, here are the important points from this episode. Distance and displacement are different. Distance refers to the length of a path of a moving object, while displacement is really the difference between its final and initial position. Velocity and speed are also different concepts. Average speed relates to the distance and is equal to the distance traveled over the time. The average velocity relates to the displacement and is defined as the displacement divided by the time it took. That's all for today. In the next episode, we'll see what happens when the velocity of an object changes. Until then, take care.